Good morning. How many of you have ever been to a rock concert, sporting event, anything like that, where you have assigned seating? You know, when I was growing up, most concerts were general admission. Do you remember those days when you had to get there and get early in line and you made a run in, but then now everything's assigned? And so more often than not when you go, right, whatever seats you have are really good seats, right? They're always really good, and then if you're really, you know, sort of get in, or if you happen to know somebody or do something, you might get close seats. You might be able to get further down or closer to the action or whatever's going on. It's kind of funny, at a rock concert, like maybe at the Sprint Center, it doesn't really matter where you sit when the decibel level is 150. You're going to hear the same concert, really. And sometimes I think when we hear a scripture like we hear for today about sitting where we're supposed to sit at the banquet table, that might be the context that we put it in. Someone had a better ticket, or someone was closer to the front, or different things like that. That's our sort of context, because most of the time we don't have banquets where seating is all that particular. Maybe a wedding where someone has decided where the guests are going to sit, but pretty rarely in our culture do we really have that kind of context. And the thing is that's really not what's happening in the scripture. In Jesus' time, and for the audience who was hearing this, they would have heard the story very differently than we do. Because to sit at the table would have excluded lots of people just by the fact that it was happening at at one of the leaders of the synagogue's house. So the people who have been at the table would have been men in this particular context. The women would not have been included. And since it's a leader of the synagogue, that would mean that there is social order and etiquette that has to be followed precisely. So to come in and to take your place, there would have been certain people that got to sit towards the head of the table. And a banquet in this time might have included 50 to 100 people, is what people write about. And so this banquet would have been quite a social event, and even more so, but the people who come would know where they were supposed to sit. And so when Jesus says, when you come into the table, don't take your place too high up, lest you be embarrassed, it sounds like good social advice, but instead, sit as low as possible. And even just saying that goes against everything in that culture. To sit below your status would have been considered offensive and wrong and outside. So then Jesus says, sit below where you're supposed to, that you might be honored and asked to sit higher. And then it goes on, and the scripture continues to admonish that same sort of way of thinking. It says, and if you throw a banquet, remember that don't just invite people who can invite you to a banquet. Invite those that can never repay you. Sounds like a good way to live, right? Sounds like a good idea. It sounds like a way we ought to behave in our life. But again, for the audience hearing that, it would have been shocking, beyond understanding. So sometimes when I think we approach the scripture, we might think of it in our own context or what it means in terms of getting a ticket to an event or getting to seat close, you know, getting closer down to home plate or being in the front row at a concert or something like that. It's really not that context. Jesus is changing the way we think about everybody. It's really an argument that we hear a little bit echoed in Jeremiah in the context today. It's really about what does God think of us versus what does the world think of us? What does God think of us versus what do the social conventions that we've gotten used to say about us? Think about that for a second. Now, maybe you don't realize something that happens at church on a Sunday. When you come to church and it's time for communion, you come forward to receive communion, and really, whatever's going on in your life, whatever status you might have, whatever position you might hold, whether you've had a good week or an awful week, whether you're struggling with something or celebrating at the top of your ability, you are received at the altar as God's child. Everyone who comes forward can receive the bread and the wine, can participate in the banquet of God. And it's not just, I think sometimes we get used to it. We just sort of know that this is going to happen. We walk up, we take communion. I don't know what you're thinking about. Maybe you're thinking about what you're doing after the service. If you've got kids, maybe you're trying to make sure they don't spit it out on the priest, you know. Maybe you're thinking about what maybe you're in a great state of deep prayer. You can be in all kinds of places when you come forward, but there's something important that's happening in what we're saying. We're living this scripture out. Because we say, all of you are welcome. All of you are given God's grace. All of you are loved by God, no matter what the world says about you. It's a powerful message. And maybe we don't always grasp that. Maybe we don't always see it. But I think there's something wonderful about that. Now, as we go about our life, though, isn't it easy to fall back into where our position is? Who we are, or where we get to sit, what place we have at the table. So how do we keep that kind of humility in our life? How do we sit in the last place? How do we take that? Now, if you come to events here at St. Thomas and we serve, I try to always be the last one through the line. And I do that on purpose, and I'm not doing it because I want you to think, oh, look what a servant he is. It's habit, but it's also something, clergy have this tendency to hear scripture, then we try to live it out just like you guys do. And the best thing to do is to go to a clergy gathering sometime and watch this happen. And the clergy all get this, because we're all trying to be humble, and we try to out-humble each other. And so when we're at our gathering and it's time to eat, no one gets in line, because we're all like, no, you first, no, go ahead, no. You first. Well, maybe Stephen and the new guy will go, because we don't always want to be first. But sometimes what happens in our life is when we're invited to someone's house or invited to someone, people are awfully gracious, and they want you to go first. Often at wedding banquets, they want the clergy to go first. They want that kind of stuff. And so part of that is, how do you live out that humility? Maybe you didn't listen, but in the Hebrews, there's this wonderful series of exhortations. Visit the imprisoned. It's the practical implications of a lot of the things that Jesus says about taking that place of humility in our life, of being humble in every aspect of what we do, to remember the imprisoned, to remember the poor, to remember those, to do it in an intentional kind of way in our life. So maybe it's as simple as remembering that when you're encountering someone that society says might be in a lesser position, that you treat them as if they're coming to communion on Sunday. As if God loves them. And of course God does. As if God has fully embraced them, as if they're just as much a child of God as you, that there is no preferential treatment by God. And I think that's one of the most difficult things to sometimes grasp. And then how does that change how we might treat the teller we encountered? The person who bags our groceries at the store? It's always kind of funny to me how sometimes people who collect our garbage and take it away are often thought of in society as being in a low position. Have you ever lived somewhere when they stop taking the garbage away? These are some of the most critical people in our society. But isn't it easy for us to see ourselves as above, as sitting at a higher place? I think this is really what Jesus is trying to get at. Jesus wants us to think differently. Not only to think differently, but to act differently. And that's what authentic humility becomes about. Maybe think about that as you go about your life this week, about how you look at others, about what it means to really take that place of humility, to sit at the last place. I've heard in a couple of places the idea of I'm second, and that is that you put others before you or God before you. Another that's often said in things like YMCA and YWCA places is I'm third, which is God, neighbor, and then yourself. That's a helpful way to kind of think about the way that we go about things or our attitude towards the rest of the world. But even more so, pay attention to how God's love is lived out in what we do on Sunday mornings. And maybe you've never thought about that before, but when you come forward to receive God's grace, to know that everyone standing with you is just as loved by God as you. I think that's what the Hebrews is getting at. I think that's what Jesus is getting at. And Jesus says it to the people who were the religious leaders at the time who would not sit at the last place. So where are you sitting? Where is your place in the line? Amen.